Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who? Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Hello, this is Professor Emery Clayton, and I'm here to tell you about the Phil Hendry Show Backstage Pass. Now, I'm a professor of social studies and history at L.A. Canyon College, but I do, from time to time, need a little bit of a laugh. I need to have myself sit back in a chair and go, ha, 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 and, you know, feel better about the world as it is. And that's why I listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the podcast, and the archives, too. And there's some real screwball jazz in there. I don't want to get into that. I have been on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm not saying I was exactly happy the way that I was treated, but then I realized it was all in good fun. And, you know, you kind of let it slide for now. The future, who knows? But as it is, I do hope you get a Backstage Pass. Is that what it's called? Backstage Pass to PhilHendryShow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show Backstage Pass is fantastic.
Jeez. The Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Sheath Underwear. And welcome everyone to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Today I welcome on a guest lecturer, a guest host, and a man whose thoughts we'd like to hear on the topic of education, a longtime educator himself, Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College. And Professor Clayton, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, Phil.
And the forum is yours. I know what the topic today.
The topic today is going to be students. And when you talk about school, you talk about college, whether it's college or high school, whatever, you're talking about the main focus should always be students. And so to that end,
you're going to talk about the students in your class.
I'm going to talk about a few of the students in my class with a hope that I focus this audience, the teachers in the audience, however many they may be, focus them on the idea of maintaining a good learning environment in your classroom. And thank you very much. I am Professor Emery Clayton. I'm a teacher of social studies and history at L.A. Canyon College. I'm a professor of history, and I am particularly interested in maintaining in the classroom this attitude, which is I'm up there, I'm the one that does the teaching, and the students are the ones that do the listening.
And the learning.
And the learning, exactly. And thank you very much, Margaret. It's good to see you.
It's great. I'm sorry.
Professor, how do you do? And you're Bud Dickman, right?
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And again, I'm not a radio podcast. I don't have a podcast. I know a lot of teachers who do have podcasts. I don't have a podcast. I have my forum, which is the classroom. And from time to time, I've been on this program with Mr. Hendry and other programs.
Have you done other radio shows?
I did the, to be honest with you, I can't remember, but I did the Bob and Tom or the Tim and, it had two names. There were two men, and they both obviously had names, but I couldn't tell you from 1 minute to the next.
All right.
But in any event, I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul that the teacher in the classroom is like the leader of a nation, the undemocratic leader of a nation, I'm sorry to say, but that's the way it has to be in a classroom. So when I'm in the classroom, I'm like, I'm not going to say Hitler or anything like that.
But you're the authoritarian.
I'm the authoritarian. Thank you, General. That's exactly what I am. I'm there to teach. The students are there to learn. I don't mind questions. I take questions all the time. But I have some pet peeves. And in fact, one of them occurred last week. And I can put up with just about anything. Questions, a lot of these students think they've got it going on. You know, they think they've got all the answers, or they think they're going to trip up Professor Clayton and ask him some really far out question, you know.
Well, they're trying to show they're smarter than you.
In a manner of speaking, yeah. And they're trying to show that they've got the material. They don't need to study. Can we cut the lecture hall short so we can go off and do something else? And I'm like, no, you can't. And if you think you know more than me, that's fine. You just keep it to yourself. And then after the class is over with.
Now, do you invite them up?
Well, hold on. I'm not...
Yeah, but that's a good question. Do you invite them up after?
I tell them after class. Like I said, let me just finish, because I'm...
Yeah, but do you invite them up?
Well, I don't think he wants to answer that question right now. I just want to get this... You look, after the class is over with, if they've got it inside of them, if they think they've got... Excuse me for saying this. If they think they've got the guts to come up and actually question me about something, you know...
I got it.
Right, I mean, it's... I'm what's called the... I stand in the front, they sit, and they look at me. When you walk into a classroom, and there's a guy standing, and all the other people are staring at him, he's the man. He is the man. He's the teacher. He's the professor. So, and then they want to come up and ask me questions? Okay. You want to take it into your hands... And you think you got a secure handle on it, as you look down at it and you look up at me, you think you've got a good secure hand on that down there? The minute you look up at me and then you look back down at it, it's gone.
Because they spent too much time looking at you.
Because they spent too much time looking at me, as they think they're going to ask me questions. So let me get to it. I was giving a lecture on a topic of American... expansion, that is post-war expansion, and that is industrial post-war expansion into the far west, not the south, not anywhere in the northeast, but the far west, as states such as California, Arizona, Oregon, Washington saw the slight uptick in industrial production post-war, as well as during the war, which of course was an explosion. But there was a continuum of companies and industrial interests moving into the West. I'm giving this lecture. Now, one thing that you never do with me is you don't sit back in your chair. If you're a student, you don't sit back in your chair twiddling the... And if you can see what I'm doing, a lot of you folks at home can't see, but I've got a pencil between my fingers, and I'm wiggling back and forth so it gives the optical illusion of rubber. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. A lot of students like to do that. They like to wiggle the pencil or the pen between their fingers, and then they'll call out to a classmate, hey, look at this. Doesn't this look like it's made out of rubber? And they'll get off on the optical illusion of that. Meanwhile, I'm sweating blood up there trying to get some kind of education into their heads before the end of that particular lecture.
Understood.
And so this is what I looked up and saw the other day. One of my male students leaning back, with one finger thoughtfully on his chin, like, huh, you know, get a load of Professor Clayton. He's got something to say today. Meanwhile, he's glancing back at this pen that he's wiggling. And at one point, he poked the young lady in front of him and said, check this out. And he starts wiggling the pencil like it's made out of rubber, and she did the same thing with hers. And that's when I said to the class, I want to call a halt to the lecture here for just a moment, and let's direct our attention to Mr. And I don't want to give any names.
No, that wouldn't be a good idea.
You can make up like a pseudonym.
I said, let's direct our attention to Mr. Jones there. Mr. Jones, who, well...
Can't give a real name.
I won't give his real name, as tempted as I am. So Mr. Jones, I said, direct our attention to Mr. Jones. At that point, he looks up with a look on his face like, who, me? I didn't, what did I do? I said, you can continue, and this is what I always tell the students. You may continue wiggling, or whatever it is they're doing, but in his case, wiggling the pen. You may continue wiggling the pen to see if it looks like rubber, or gives the optical illusion of that, and talking to the young lady sitting in front of you, if you so wish, Mr. Jones. But in order for you to do that, I'm going to hang you outside the window, holding on only to your ears.
Oh, my God. No, that's
a joke, right?
Wait, what? No, it's not a joke, because I'm giving him the option. Okay?
Yeah, you can. They can see that's abuse.
Okay, do I get...
All right, let's just not...
I'm giving the lecture now. This is the whole reason.
Well, you're going to hang me out a window with my ear?
Hang you out a window with your ear? He means, well, I know what he, I'm not going to do that. No. Do you want me to?
No, I don't.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is just listen to me for a minute. Because I have to bring home to these young people, it's either my way or the highway. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, of course.
So you have got to listen to the lecture, listen to Professor Clayton, as I delineate these various points on industrialization, as well as auto production and women in the workforce and all of these phenomena that took place during and after the Second World War as it pertained to the West of the United States. Now, if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. But that means...
Now, do you give them the option to leave the class?
No, I do not. I don't do that because all bets are off now. You stayed in the class. Now you're wiggling a pencil to see if it's made out of rubber. There's not a lot...
I suspect this really bothers you, doesn't it?
That there's not too much in this world that doesn't anger me more, or that does anger me more, I should say. There's not a lot in this world than a guy sitting there wiggling a pencil because it looks like it's made out of rubber from the optical illusion. I had a kid come up to me. Well, a lot of... And that's the way young people... But these are college students, you understand.
Well, that's the thing. They should know better.
I had a kid come up to me once and say, hey, Professor Clayton, look at this. Doesn't it look like it's made out of rubber? And I remember said, okay, that's it. And I took the homework that I was grading, and I set fire to it and threw it in a waste paper basket and walked out. Now, I assume the young man... Where was this? I won't say. It was at a different school, and it was a high school that I was teaching at the time. I don't want to go into it, because fortunately for me, the fire was put out by one of the maintenance staff. When they saw me leave and they saw smoke coming out of my classroom, they knew what it was.
Oh, you've done it before.
I've done it a couple of times, yes. But not as the result of some student asked me a dumb question about, have you ever seen a pencil look like rack?
No, all right, so we interrupted you.
All right, so anyway, I said, yeah, you can leave so long as you don't mind. I said, you can sit there wiggling that pencil so long as you don't mind me hanging you by your ears out the window. And if you don't want me hanging you by your ears out the window, you will have to sit there and not wiggle the pencil. If you keep wiggling the pencil, then I will again ask you, do you want me to hang you by your ear?
No, wait, how do you do this?
How do you hang a guy by his ears out the window? All you do is you grab the guy by the side of the head and you begin to move him toward the window and you lift him up so his feet will clear, you know.
Well, you've got to be pretty strong.
Well, maybe I am. I mean, what I'll do is if the kid's big, I'll just say, let me take you by the head. Now get your, sit down and swing your feet out.
And they do this willingly.
What are they going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? They're going to sit there and say, no, I refuse to do that. I say, well, all right, sit back down, but no more wiggling of the pencil.
All right, so don't most of them say, all right, I'll stop wiggling the pencil?
Most of them do. Most of them do. But what, they don't have the combination of wiggling the pencil and sitting back with one finger on their chin like, get a load of the trained clown walking around up there with the big nose and the shoes. And
so that's how it struck you.
That's not how it struck me, General Shaw. That's exactly what it was. I was being stared at like I had just gotten out of a little tiny car and there were 100 other guys with the same size shoes, the same size nose, but... This guy, Mr. Jones, zeroed in on me. And I thought to myself, all right, now I'm not going to let this guy get away with it, okay?
All right, so it was the fact that not only was he wiggling the pencil to make it look like it was made out of rubber.
Yeah, it wasn't just that. It's that he was sitting back with a thoughtful look on his face with a finger on his chin as if to say, well, get a load of the zoo act. Look, I wonder when the trainer comes out and feeds him mackerel.
Well, you are... What?
Well, you want to say something?
No. All right, did you hang this young man by his ears out the window?
I took him over. I said, let me take off your hat because he was wearing some beanie or something. I put my hands... And really what you're doing is holding the side of his head. I put my hands on the side of his head, and I said, let's go. Put your ass on that. Sit down there. And as soon as you're free, swing your legs out, and then I'll hang you. I'll hold onto your ears while you hang out the window. And the kid said, no, I'll go back. And I won't wiggle the pencil. I said, okay, that's fine. Well, guess what he did?
But he went back to wiggle it.
Went back to wiggle it.
I mean...
He wiggled the pencil. Yeah, he did. He did it again. I said, here we go again, Jones. And he looked at me and he did something that you never do with Professor Clayton. He looked at me and said, oh, I thought you were kidding. And I said, okay, that's it. Let's go get up. And I grab him by the head, and there's nothing he can do as I'm leading him over there by the head. I go, sit down on the edge of that thing, swing your legs out. And this man willingly did this. What else is he going to do? Emery Clayton's in town now. I told you once, kid, you don't go wiggling a pencil and then sitting back. If it was just wiggling the pencil, I might have been okay. Trying to make it look like rubber, I get it. It's fascinating. But he sat wiggling the pencil and sat back like, look at this guy. He's taking my attention away from wiggling this pencil to make it look like it's rubber. I might even check out some of this hogwash that he is tossing out here onto the class. And I got angry. So I said, he said, I won't do it again. I said, all right, go sit back down. And then he did it again. And that's when I said, now you get, I'm going to hang you outside the window, holding on to only your ears. Now, naturally, no, I was just holding on to the head.
You did. You put the guy outside the window.
Yes, I did. You could get into serious trouble. Well, let me tell you, all these students are of majority age, 18 and over, and they all are college students. They all ought to know better, and they had a choice. They could have gone back to the seat and not wiggled a pencil.
Well, did he?
Well, he said, I'm sorry, I won't. I said, it doesn't matter. You did it again. That means you do want to wiggle the pencil and sit back like your stuff doesn't smell and stare at Professor Clayton like I'm something that just, like I'm part of the flea circus. Like I'm something that some guy keeps in a jar and goes, Professor Clayton, time to hop out and start doing the flea act, you know?
The flea act?
Well, that's how this guy was looking at me, like I was nothing more than another sand at the flea circus. And brother, I know what that's all about. Because I went to a flea circus. Never mind. I don't want to get into a lot of traumatic stuff.
So then what did the guy do?
Then I pulled him back in, and he sat back down. And he didn't wiggle the pencil anymore.
I find this hard to believe. I'll tell you why I find it hard to believe. Wait a minute. You're not calling me a liar, are you? No, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm thinking you might have concocted a very interesting story.
No, ma'am, I did not.
A very interesting story to make a point. I find it difficult to believe that you took a full-grown man of 18 plus whatever and dangled him out the window, holding on to only his head.
Well, I put him out the... If I'm holding on to his head any closer, then you got a different complaint.
I beg your pardon.
This is what you did to the kid because he was... Because the kid wouldn't stop wiggling the pencil, making it look like it's made out of rubber. If there's one thing I can't take it when someone's wiggling a pencil trying to make it look like it's rubber and shoulder...
Yeah, but you didn't hang a guy. You didn't dangle a guy at the window for that.
No, I've put a very good governor on myself, and I've said I'm not going to do it. I won't dangle this guy outside a window. But boy, oh boy, if he sits back in the chair, leans back in the chair with a finger on the chin, and a look on his face like, well, looky here, they brought out the trained seal here for the afternoon feeding, and that's when I just throw the book down. I go, okay, get up, get up. And he gets up, I take him by the head, and I lead him over to the window, and I said, you're going to get dangled out the window. Now,
have you ever had one of the students fight you?
Fight me? For what?
Not wanting to be dangled out the window.
I've never had anybody be so dumb as to, once you've been threatened with being dangled out the window, to actually do something to make me go through with it. Most of them will sit back down and stop their nonsense, but this one kid... As soon as I sat him back down, he went back to wiggling the pencil, talking to the girl in front of him.
God, man, it's...
Yeah, and what do you think? What do you think, bud? An idiot, right?
I gotta say, an idiot, yeah.
All right, well, there's no doubt that the guy who wiggled the pencil... What is with this wiggle the pencil? That's what they do. I don't know if you've ever done it.
Here, look at this, General. You see how you do this?
Oh, yeah, it looks like rubber. All right, now, please. You gotta start... No, I'm just demonstrating it. Because when I see students going, hey, look, doesn't it look like rubber...
Yeah, I used to do that as a kid and everything, but...
They do it all the time now, believe me.
And there'll be more of Professor Emery Clayton in just a minute.
You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry here for Sheath Underwear. Now, the other day, I found myself sitting cross-legged on a floor, which from time to time we will find ourselves doing. I was listening to somebody speaking, and I was feeling a little uncomfortable. I had to stand up. I had to readjust myself. I had to walk around. I had to kind of move things around, find a little place where nobody would see me sticking my hand down my pants, and all that jazz that you and I have to do, you being another guy like me, when you need something like Sheath underwear, when you need that separation, when you need a little bit of comfort, when you need some performance, when you got to, I don't know, get that dual pouch going, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you got to get the dual pouch in.
Dad, getting the dual pouch in. Now, if you've had trouble finding comfortable underwear because things are sticking, there's drama, there's chafing, man, it ain't no good, let me recommend Sheath underwear. Founder and CEO Robert Patton was out in Iraq one day. He had on all this equipment. It was in the summer. It was really hot, and it sucked. And so he came back here and came up with a better idea, Sheath underwear, man, with added comfort, performance, mobility, the dual pouch, man.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, the dual pouch, that's the secret. Yeah, the dual pouch, well, it's not a secret anymore. Not a secret anymore, but the dual pouch is the dual pouch, brother. It comfortably cradles what you got, allowing gravity to handle the rest, and the next thing you know, it is cool, it's dry, and it's a beautiful world. Now, Sheath underwear is also not just about supporting you, it's about supporting shows like mine. In fact, they're supporting the show right now. They believe in free speech. They believe in your right to say what you want to, and my right to say what I want to, and not to have one hand on our pants. Well, I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is these guys are a lifesaver. Make sure to give Sheath underwear a try. Go to sheathunderwear.com now and use the promo code PHIL to receive 20% off today. That's sheathunderwear.com today. Use the promo code PHIL for 20% off. Sheath, let it breathe. Professor Emery Clayton is my guest here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our guest lecturer, if you will, talking to us about some of the challenges that he faces as a teacher. Professor?
Thank you very much, Phil. And while I'm on the topic here of, you know, interesting things to involve yourself with, make sure you remember to get a subscription to the Phil Hendry website. That's philhendryshow.com. I think you'll enjoy it. I think there's quite a bit there for you to involve yourself with. And you can get that by going to the website, correct, Phil?
Go to our website, philhendryshow.com.
philhendryshow.com. And they pay for a month subscription or a year.
Yes, a month or a year. And then it automatically renews.
And it automatically renews, so you have yourself a good time, because I listen to Phil from time to time, and he's got some wonderful little play acting that he does, and he makes the funny voices, right, General?
Yes, Phil does. He's a wide variety of talents.
Wide variety of talents. So I would suggest that if you're so bored with my lectures that you're wiggling a pencil trying to make it look like it's made out of rubber.
Jesus. Just they should subscribe.
They should subscribe to the Phil Hendry Show website. I think you'd enjoy it. And do that at philhendryshow.com.
Professor Emery Clayton returns here for the second half of his lecture on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
One of the great quotes in all of film history, in my opinion, was spoken by the very fine actor Michael Caine in a film called Educating Rita. And in the film, as Rita, this young student, has come to see him, she's looking out the window of his office, and she says, "That's a beautiful view you have here, Professor." And he says, "That's funny. I've never really looked out that window or looked at the view." She said, "You've never looked out this window at all?" He said, "No. I've occasionally thought about throwing a student through it." And boy, I'll tell you, as soon as I heard that, I said, Now, I won't say to you that what a lot of you people are thinking.
Sounds like you're anti-student.
No, I'm not anti-student. No, I'm not anti-education. Far from it. I'm a teacher, and I love teaching. But teaching, as I said in the first part of the lecture, when you walk into the classroom, you'll see a guy in the front, and he's looking at a whole bunch of people who are looking back at him, okay? Now, what does that tell you?
That one man has their attention.
Yes, that all of them are listening to him.
There you go. What, bud?
Well, it tells me that they may be angry at him because he's interrupting them.
They may be angry at him because he's interrupting them.
But that's...
No, that's a very good point. You're right, because many students view teachers, professors, lecturers, instructors, they view us as interrupting the otherwise fascinating conversation they were having with each other about playing with their... Who knows what they're talking about? My job as a teacher, as an instructor, as a professor, as a lecturer, my job is to remind them, I'm the show, me. Take a look. Now, I've cut out some cardboard. People can't see these.
Well, we can describe these. Professor Clayton, and you cut these out yourself?
Well, I had the help of my wife, Carolyn. She cut out, these are giant fingers pointing, and they've got gloves on. They got gloves because the only thing we could, she copied them off of Mickey Mouse. What do you call it, the Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse wears the gloves.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. So she copied off of Mickey Mouse. His finger was pointing. And what she did was she made two giant pointing fingers, a gloved hand pointing.
Yes.
And here's the other gloved hand pointing. Now,
and they're on sticks.
These are on sticks. I walk into the classroom, and if I am lecturing and I notice people are preoccupied with something else, I'll go back and I'll pick these two fingers that are pointing, and I hold them over my head like this. See this? All right, so what the professor is showing here, two fingers pointing at you. Two
gloved, they're gloved.
Okay, they're gloved. They're two gloved fingers. They're two Mickey Mouse hands, if you want. And that was the problem. I tell you, I'm glad Bud brought that up, because the first time I used these, I had a real smart-alecky, real wise... This guy in the back of the classroom says, okay, so Mickey Mouse thinks you're important. And that's what I said... That's all I did is hold my hands out.
And he thought you're coming for the ears?
He thought I was going to come. Now, he got up and he left the class. And I don't think I've seen hide in a hair of that student, and that happened 2 years ago. But I was fully prepared to go back there, lift him by his ears, and dangle him out a window.
So you put those fingers up why?
Because there was some chatter and chit-chat. I could hear a low hum of, well, you know, I was up there and I did this and you can jam that up your... Whatever they're talking about, and it's just a low... And I finally went, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, do you see anything that might give you some pause? And I was holding the two fingers pointing directly at me over my head. The wiseacre, the wise ass, pardon my language, said, what, Mickey Mouse thinks you're important? And I held my hands out like Bela Lugosi would in a Dracula or a ghoul and moved toward him. And that's a signal to my students. I'm about to lift someone up by their ears. And the kid got up and left. And the young man got... No, let's not say kid. These are adults of maturity age. I don't play any of this, you know, Wunderkind stuff. I had a young man, not to digress, but I had a young man come into my class... One of many that he was taking at L.A. Canyon College that semester. And this young person was all of 11 years of age. And the administrative board had said to me, this is a young person who's taken a series of classes. He's obviously very gifted. And he's going to take a social studies with you. I believe he signed with you, Professor Clayton. I said, well, I'm not going to talk to him. The kid's going to school here. He's going to be in your class. I said, fine, but if I need to get up and help him change a diaper, they said he was 10 years old.
Well, you're talking about being a... He says he's a young boy.
A young boy. I said, look, I'm not going to help him go to the bathroom or anything, so forget it. And they said, we don't believe that'll be the case. I said, that's not good enough. So they signed and co-signed a document, and I had my attorney initial it, saying that all I'd be responsible for was lecturing, and I wouldn't have to... I had a copy of it. Look at this. You won't have to help him cut his sandwich, pour a thermos full of soup, help him use a napkin, or help him to the bathroom to wipe himself. You had your attorney initial all these.
This is a doc. This is, in other words, why did you do this?
Because I want to make sure that what I am contracted to do as a teacher, I do, and I'm not doing anything else.
So you had them prepare a document.
Not them, my lawyer.
Your lawyer saying you wouldn't help him cut his sandwich, pour soup, take him to the bathroom, or...
Just a few other items. And to my credit and my attorney, Ondine Womack.
Ondine Womack?
Yeah. The problem there?
No.
I was gonna look him up in the who's who of lawyers.
You don't have to do that. He's in there, but you know, I don't know who's who. That's a social registry. He may or may not be.
I don't even think they do who's who anymore, bud.
Yeah, they do. They got a who's who. Well, they got there's a who's who here of sport of Twitch and who's on Twitch.
Yeah, that's real interesting. Let me get back to just never mind, bud.
Right.
Let me get back to it. So, I'm giving a lecture, and the fingers are pointing at me. And when someone says, "Yeah, well, Mickey Mouse thinks you're important," that's when I go toward them, holding their hands out in front of me, like Bela Lugosi might in a Dracula movie. And they quickly get up and leave. If they don't, I grab them by the ears. Well, you're grabbing the side of the head. Whatever. Okay. Always as a teacher, ensure that you are number one in that classroom. And you can't go wrong. You'll never go wrong. Professor Emery Clayton has been our special guest lecturer here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You can listen to this again. It'll be featured on our homepage and will be part of our podcast directory that you can hear on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to it at Podcast One and other fine places like that. And let me just say, I thank you very much to Phil Hendry for letting me be a part of today's guest lecture series. That sounds like, that's bothering me.
What's going on?
It sounds like an electronic mouse burrowing in my skull. I can't. There it is right there.
What are you talking about?
You can't hear, that's an electronic mouse.
Stop it.